For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grip Lock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor.
Hey.
We've got an exciting week coming up for you. Some Texas States recap, actually a lot of Texas States recap, some more Manufacturer Cup, Trevor's Trivia, the Pro Tour finally released kind of their new scoring platform. We're going to talk a little bit about Gatekeeper Media, and then we're going to update our preseason top 10, not preseason, midseason now, top 10, and all that fun stuff.
Mid-season?
Are we not? I feel like I'm in the middle of the season.
We haven't even had the first of four majors yet. Although, to be fair, all of them happen like really quick.
Yeah, they all happen right next to each other, so you can't use that to judge. But before we get into all of this fun stuff, I want to let you know that we're moving. If you're not near Lynchburg, doesn't really pertain to you. The shot that you're looking at will probably look the same, similar. We'll get new lights. But if you're anywhere near Lynchburg, April 12th is the grand opening of our new storefront, and the first 100 people are going to get an exclusive collectible card, and you'll also have your first dibs on some very cool custom-stamped stuff that we have that we're really excited for. But the media offices, we're all moving this week, and then the retail store will be moving next week. So if you're close, Silas just dropped off the Silas Select. If you're close to the area and you like frequenting the Lynchburg store, next week it'll be closed. And then April 12th, next Friday, will be the grand opening. We will also be having a Foundation versus the Nation style event at 12 p.m. Eastern on that Friday. And then the grand opening will happen at 5 p.m. on that Friday. And then the store, in-person store, will be on sale all weekend long. So if you're anywhere near the area, start marking your calendar, make some plans to be here. Like I said, the first 100 people that come through that weekend will get for free an exclusive collectible card, commemorative card of the OG Foundation storefront location. So really cool item there. And then, like I also said, there's a lot of cool custom stamp stuff. We're going to throw some cool stuff in the used bin. It's just going to be a grand old time.
It's going to be a good time.
So you're not going to want to miss it. And also, if you're local to the area and you have a kid or you are a kid, the Central Virginia Disc Golf Junior Series, we are partnering with some local tournament directors to kick that off starting April 13th. So you can find more information on the PDGA site, I believe, about that. So the first tournament happens then. But let's jump into some Texas States here, shall we? FPO results. Annika Steen. So it looks like it's pronounced Steen. Charlie Eisenhood pronounced it Sten all weekend. So I feel like he would know more than me.
Probably.
So Anakin Sten takes it down. Kristen Tatar comes in second. Owen Scoggins comes in third. Then on the MPO side, we had AB winning, Gannon Burr second, Ezra Aderholt third. But let's focus on FPO right now. So Anakin took down her first Pro Tour event ever. Super impressive performance overall, especially down the stretch, though. She also, on Twitter, I saw that she shot her first ever 1,000-rated round, and then she just happened to do it for all three rounds out here, back to back to back. And yeah, kind of came out of nowhere.
Oh,
to be completely honest,
definitely came out of nowhere.
I'd heard her name before. Like, I feel like people had always mentioned her here and there. I went and looked. Her previous best finish was fifth at Waco in 2023.
Yeah, so she's never really been in contention.
She also had like a sixth place finish at European Open, but like you just said, neither of those were really in contention. But this is her first finish inside the top 15 this year. So just out of the blue, really.
Well, you know, what's fascinating is last year, Sayananda won this tournament.
Yeah.
Another one that was the most random thing possible. Well, maybe not possible, but it's very random. And it's interesting because I'm not sure that I would expect that from this course. I don't know. I'm curious how it's interesting that it's happened 2 years in a row. That
we used to always say Waco's wacko.
Now it's
but they always
States.
Say keep Austin weird. This one's not in Austin. Never mind.
It's in Houston.
Houston, we have a problem.
Keep Houston random. There you go.
Keep Houston close to where Austin stays weird.
Yeah, there you go. There's some way to get Waco in there too. We're not going to try too
just,
hard.
I think we just blanket in Texas.
Texas is just weird.
Keep Texas big.
Keep Texas weird.
Keep Texas big.
Texas is big weird.
Big weird. Big weird there Texas. We
go. That's it.
Kristen's round one kind of set her way back, but round two and three, she got back into the mix, and she actually ended up having a chance to win it or tie the lead down the stretch, but she missed a outside the circle putt on 17 and then threw her drive OB on 18 to seal the deal. Kristen's charge, though, is what actually really impressed me about Anakin's performance down the stretch, because Kristen tied it up on hole 11 of the final round. So all tied up through 11 holes. Normally, that's the script. Like, absolutely. There you go. Kristen's caught her. It's over. You know, now they're going to fold like a cheap church chair and it's done. Mm. But that's not what happened at all. Anakin took a stroke back on 12. Then they both birdied 13 through 16. So it also went against what we've seen several times where there's some pressure and it's like, which person's going to collapse worse?
Yeah.
We will tend to happen. Not at all this event. Because even, you know, you had Anakin and Kristen battling back and forth, but Owen Scoggins was right in that mix too. And she was playing solid. She needed a few more things to kind of go her way to get where she was like really pushing for the lead. She had a few birdie putts that she missed and stuff like that. But she was right up there in the mix where every hole you stepped in, and it was like, if Owen birdies and they both par, like there's a lot of stuff that could happen to where it was a very exciting final stretch. And it kind of gave you a peek into what I hope FPO looks like every week in the future, because we haven't seen it too much here recently. It was kind of like a reminiscent of the Cat and Page era where there was just a battle at the top of, you know, good golf back and forth and back and forth. And another thing with Owen being in the mix, like I had mentioned, is she might be having a better start to the year than Kristen, looking at stats wise.
Yeah.
They're 2-2 head to head. Kristen's finished outside the top five once during that stretch. Owen's worst finish during that stretch was fourth. Owen does have a seventh place finish, but that was at Chess.
Yeah.
At chess.com. And Kristen wasn't there yet. So, as much as we're talking about, because Kristen, you know, obviously, I saw on Twitter where someone clipped out you saying, like, I wonder if this grace isn't going to flip because Kristen's washed. And then Kristen went like 12 under that round. Like, as much as those jokes have been made, she's having a fantastic start to the year.
Yeah.
If for anyone but Kristen.
You got to be careful making jokes about Kristen being washed, because the white knights on social media, man, they don't tolerate it.
Yeah.
They do not tolerate it.
It's similar.
It's pretty funny.
It's similar to, I'm in this group, it's called On the Box. It was Dixon Jower used to have a podcast. I don't know if he still does it anymore or not, but I'm still in his Facebook group. And there's this one dude in there. I'm not going to give him credit by mentioning his name, but everyone in that group will know who he is. And he's like, it started off as, I think, not a bit, but now it's definitely a bit where he's just the Paul Macbeth hater. Because it started off like probably 2 years ago now, where if Paul finished slightly outside of the top 10, he'd like post and be like, oh, Paul Macbeth washed. And the comments would just got people riled up every time. Yeah, it's kind of where Kristen is right now, I feel like. Yeah,
I mean, I obviously do not believe she's washed, nor did I ever, but I just like thought it was funny to say in a video. And man, I had some people messaging me, imagine thinking that Kristen Tatar listens to these idiots, like guys like that. And it's like, my guy, like, she's not even going to see that reply. Like, you know, you and I both know that that was not my purpose for saying it. I wasn't like, ooh, I'm going to get Kristen right here. Like,
that was funny.
I love that stuff.
That was funny.
I'm going to lean into it more.
There you go.
title of this grip blocked episode.
Because Owen Scoggins, like, we each week, I feel like we're not surprised by her performance by any means. But I feel like I in my head, I still don't hold her to the standard
of
Kristen.
She feels like more of a threat this year, though.
She does. That's I think this year, she's more of a threat.
I think it's because she won early, and Kristen has had a little bit of a slower start. I mean, Kristen's perfectly good, and like she's the best in the world. She's had a little bit of a slower start. Just had to preface that.
Wow, this dude's an idiot.
You think she's had a slow start?
I'd like to see you come in top two on FPO.
Yeah, bro.
Trev.
Yeah, you figure that out.
What have you done in your disc
golf
career?
But no, I think because Owen won early this year,
love that argument.
She like, she really like reestablished that she's able to win on tour, and so now when she's hanging around the top three, it's not just like the, that's what Owen does, but she's not going to win. It's like she could win, you know, because Kristen's leaving the door open more often this year early in the season. That's three straight tournaments without a win.
Yeah,
which is just, you know, unacceptable, and. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why Owen, and just like there's just not a lot of the kind of like other players you'd expect to be stepping up. I mean, we it's been pretty quiet now for a while from Ella Hansen, Holland Hanley in these last couple events, Haley King. Like, there's these other players that aren't stepping up. So somebody has to win these tournaments, and Owen is continually putting herself in that mix. So if Kristen's not going to dominate them all, yeah, she has just as much a chance to win as anybody at the moment.
I think it, first off, what you just mentioned, she lost three straight events. First time it's happened in almost exactly 2 years. It was April of 2022.
Which is insane.
The first time she's went three straight events she's played. PDGA Stats tweeted it. Three straight events where she hasn't won one of them.
That's crazy.
The other thing is, I'm pretty sure every FPO events had a different winner this year, because we went Evelina at chess.com, Kristen at Waco, was open at Austin, was who just won open at Austin? Doesn't matter. Owen won open at Austin. Mm-hmm. Then Missy won U.S. Women's, then you have Anakin win here. So five events, five different winners.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's been
and four of them, depending on, I don't know if Owen claims the U.S. or not.
I think she does. I think she's a citizen.
She might be, but I know, like, Simon was still claiming Germany after he lived here for a long time. But regardless.
Yeah, based on the PDGA, it's literally whatever your mailing address is.
So. Yeah, so three of them, whether you include Owen, that makes it four, but three of them outside the U.S. winners, and each of them from a different country, too.
It's true.
Which is crazy.
It's been interesting. I mean, and I think this event was good because we needed some drama. The last couple have kind of been like, there just hasn't been a ton going on at the end of the event, so it was good to get towards the end and have something to follow, and it was a good duel. Yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, just matching each other with birdies down the stretch like that, like, we haven't seen that in a little bit, and that was refreshing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to watch. Now, on the MPO side, AB and Gannon, you kind of have to just talk about both of them together, because AB won this event, but they both did some incredible things, and overall, they just kind of feel like they're head and shoulders above the field right now. I looked it up. I went a head-to-head comparison to them. And AB's beating Gannon, but neither of them have finished outside the top four yet this year, which is crazy. You have two guys finishing up two of the four spots every weekend right now.
Yeah.
Wild. And AB has two wins to Gannon's one, but the last time AB won, Gannon won the next event. So that means that, what's next, Jonesboro?
Yeah.
Go ahead and put Gannon in the win column there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, based on one stat. I saw, speaking of cherry picking stats, here's a sidetrack for you. Men's basketball. Someone posted a stat where Dan Hurley's the coach of UConn, right? Mm-hmm. That's the name. Where it said UConn's record when Dan Hurley's son plays, 41-0. UConn's record when he doesn't play. And it was like 69-something.
His son's something. Like a manager.
Yeah, his son gets so in. Basically
plays
only
if they're winning. Exactly. Yeah. Or if they're getting blown out. And spoiler alert, UConn doesn't get blown out.
Yeah, so that's what, they tweeted that. And then the just caption tweet was like, I don't understand why his son doesn't play more.
That is really funny.
I just thought that was a hilarious way to cherry pick a stat there. But anyways, because so round one,
AB. That'd be a funny segment. Doing the stats stuff is pretty difficult, but finding disc golf stats that are just like,
they don't tell the full
story
at all.
They're technically statistics, but yeah, they're so out of context that they are completely misleading.
Yeah.
We need that to be, maybe Edwin can do that for us.
Some misleading stats.
Give us like the
misleading
most
stat of the week.
Misleading stat that there is.
Oh, that'd be a fun segment. Misleading
that
stat
would
of
be
the
funny.
Week.
Yeah.
So AB came out the gates in this one with a 10-under opening round, the lead by one. Felt like a very hot round, but we had talked about in the previous show where this course felt shreddable. Like, it felt like every hole was scoreable. So you weren't going to be surprised if someone put up better than a 10-under, which then AB didn't, but he went unconscious. This round did surprise me because I knew it was out there technically, but you just don't think someone's going to do it.
It's pretty insane.
He went bogey-free 16-under, which, like, it seemed mind-blowing. It was like, oh, there you
That's
go.
That's a crazy round.
He just won the tournament. And then Gannon responds with a 15-under of his own the next day. Mm-hmm. So you have AB go 10-under, 16-under, 8-under, and then you had Gannon go 9-under, 9-under, 15-under. So AB ended up winning by one.
He needed that 16-under, though.
Yeah, he laid up on the last hole. He had a putt.
20 feet.
But he laid up to tap out for the win. So he could have won by two, but regardless, he needed every stroke that he got out there. And they weren't really head and shoulders above the entire field because you had Ezra Aderholt sneak in there.
Yeah,
I believe
he
was 30 under, so I think he was a few behind him. But then
he got
from
one or two, or two or three, I think, at some
from
point.
From Ezra to fourth place, which was Matty O, was a 5-stroke gap there.
Yeah.
So those three guys really separated themselves from the field, but really AB and Gannon fully separated themselves
from
the field.
Well, this is the nature of a 3-round tournament. whenever you the fewer rounds you have a much larger chance of guys pulling away, especially when you have a course that is has that shreddable potential. Because when you have two really good players that fire off a round like they did, you kind of have to, that basically means if you are going to compete with them, you have to have one of those rounds as well.
Yeah.
Like when somebody goes out there and pushes a 16 under, unless they collapse, if they just keep playing good golf, you now have to have a round like that if you're going to beat them on a 3-day tournament.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's going to work. And yeah, I mean, those guys were unstoppable, because if you take those two away, and you know, Ezra, like I said, it's impressive that he got up to 30 under without a round like that, just kind of playing three solid rounds. But yeah, because you take those guys away, it gets a little bit more bunched in, especially once you get past Ezra. But yeah, this was a kind of classic disc golf where three-round tournament, two guys just kind of start sprinting away from everybody else.
Yeah.
And although it was a little different because, like, Gannon was not, like, he did his in the third round. He made up a lot of strokes. It looked like it was going.
Yeah, he made up seven strokes in the third round.
It looked like AB, will he choke to Ezra? Like, will Ezra be able to catch him type thing? And then it turned into something completely different, which I will say, you know, Gannon, he made his comeback since he was coming from so far back. It was never really a situation where, the pivotal moment, there was a couple pivotal moments in that tournament where maybe Ezra had a chance to make up some ground. I think they both bogeyed a hole a little bit later in the round. But then, you know, as Gannon pushed, it was just too little too late. I think he even posted on Instagram, they just kind of ran out of holes, and that was just the case. You didn't really ever feel like there was danger a ton, especially with them playing the last couple holes cleanly. So, yeah, I mean, it's an insane performance. I mean, those guys, when they're playing at their highest level, just look unstoppable. I mean, AB, he throws a disc so hard. I mean, there's so many par fours, like low ceiling par fours, where even if he hit early, he's just going to throw the hardest forehand you've ever seen, like from a standstill, and he can make up 450 feet just like that. Like it's so on a course like that, when the ceiling is low and guys are going to get held up early, it's so big to be able to make up a ton of distance whenever you want it. And he was getting so far. I mean, that par five, the really long par five, he was jump putting his third shot up to the basket to tap in. Like, you just, if you're playing well and you can use your distance the way he can. And I think people were, whenever Gannon won at, was it Waco, with his crazy shot on the final hole, and I think I mentioned, like, I said Gannon threw a really incredible 450-foot shot, and I said he's not even a crusher. And people were like, what are you talking about? Gannon's a crusher. I'm like, when I talk about the crushers on tour, AB is in a different level. Like, there are guys like him, there's only a few of them, but guys like him that, like, their distance is not only a tool, it is a secret weapon. It's like it's an advantage over everybody, and he was able to utilize it. And then it was another solid putting performance as well. That's obviously when he's most dangerous. That's what he's been lacking previously. But it's crazy because I feel like, you know, for so many years, AB has been the guy that you would look at as he was growing up in the game and be like, he's athletic, he has like all these skill set, just like all this untapped potential. Is it ever going to come together? And then I feel like for a few years there, we had just kind of all agreed, like, maybe not, like, maybe he's just going to be a decent tour player. And all of a sudden, it seems like this year he may actually be that guy. Like, he might be a guy who is going to be almost unstoppable when he's playing at that level.
Yeah,
he's got everything.
He led the field in fairway hit percentage, park percentage, circle one in regulation, circle two in regulation, and gain tee to green. But he also putted 93% from C1X, which the leader was at 100%. But anything in the 90%, had a great weekend putting.
It's just dangerous.
Because he missed two circle one putts all weekend. And he was 45% from circle two. He was beat out by Ezra Aderholt, who was 56%, 10 for 18.
He was crazy. Circle two. He was crazy. He made a bomb. I think it was on 17.
His long throw-in was a 75-footer. I don't know if that was a final round.
He made a really long one, like uphill into the wind. That was so nice. Ezra's putt was looking good. But AB and Gannon so far this season are proving that, you know, we've talked about how the field is so dense in MPO right now, and there's so many good players. And, like, it's really interesting watching the players on Instagram. I think Simon was the one who just posted, like, it's crazy that you can't play decent anymore and even sniff the top 10.
No, you got to play great.
It is so competitive. But Gannon and AB are proving that even in an era like this, when the best players in the world, the most talented guys are playing their best golf, they can still dominate as if this sport is still in an older era. Like, it's the same way that a guy like Tiger Woods stepped into an ancient game of golf and made it look like they were all toddlers for a little bit there. Like, just put up stupid statistics. And so, and disc golf is proving that the sport is fleshed out enough that there's room for a dominant player to still, you know, show up on a weekend like that and just crush the field. And that's, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's good to be able to still have that, even when you have parity most weeks, to be able to be like, yeah, two guys, if they go out there and they're playing their best and they're some of the best players in the world, like, we can see just like this duel of pure dominance, and it's exciting to watch.
Well, because it shows the ceiling still higher.
Yeah.
Like, there's still room
right.
to improve. Because, like, if you, I was paying attention and I was thinking about this when I was watching, because I'm going to Music City Open. Shout out if y'all are going to be there. Come say hi. And I was like, my recent disc golf experience has all been USDGC. Like, I haven't been to a Pro Tour event in a few years, just a normal Pro Tour event. If I'm remembering correctly,
like Idlewild 2021.
That's, I don't remember. 2021, I went to several, but after that, I don't know if I went to any in 2022 or 2023. I didn't go into any in 2023. I don't remember 2022. So I haven't seen a Pro Tour crowd in a while. But when I went, everyone who was there was following the lead card.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had some guys follow like Chase Card, or, you know, if Brody or someone teed off early, he had like a little bit of a gallery. But for most part, everyone's following the lead card. But in the modern disc golf era, like, you have so many guys that are playing good disc golf on so many cards that, like, you could pick card way down and find, like, for instance, I don't know what cards they were on, but Yuli, Ricky, Adam Hammes, and you pick anyone in this mix, Ben Callaway, Randon Lada, Jake Ebenheimer, like, they would have all been kind of close to being carded together. And you have one good card there, like, you could see three of your favorite players, even though none of them are in contention, and they're still putting up really good rounds. Like, they're still shooting 8-9 under. Before, it was like, you have the lead card shredding the course, mm-hmm. Chase Card is kind of like doing pretty good, and then, like, by the time you get to third or fourth card, like, guys are going to be, it's just not their weekend.
Yeah.
Whereas it was a lot of these guys weekend. It's just their ceiling just isn't the same.
I mean, just think about this. 3-round tournament, you could have gone out there and shot 8-under. 8-under, which is a very competitive round at that course. All 3 rounds, you could have shot 8-under, and you would have been pretty happy with that. A lot of pros would have been. And you would have been 10 off the lead.
Well, that's crazy.
Like, we're not a big ratings podcast, but to just farther put it into perspective, 8-under rated 1049.
Yeah.
You could have averaged 1049 and lost by 10.
That's, wow. that's just crazy.
Like, that's wild.
It's got to be so hard to be a professional disc golfer and know that, especially when you have an...
Oh, here's the actual example. Calvin Heimberg averaged 1051, lost by 10.
Yeah.
like that's just insane. That's depressing. Crazy.
How do you go into a tournament knowing that, like, I have to play at a just world champ level for at least, you know, at least one or two of my rounds? I have to play maybe the most lights out golf out there. And that's what it's going to take to get a chance to win.
Like, it's funny because I think like a year ago, 2 years ago, like whenever the, like, you know, the $1 million contract came. When was that? When did Paul sign that?
Paul's would have been 2021.
Yeah, okay.
3 years ago.
Yeah, so like around that range, 2 years ago or so, we were talking about how like kids now who are like in disc golf, they can convince their parents to like help them go full time trying to tour disc golf because they're like, I mean, there's money in disc golf now. Like, now we can make money in disc golf. But now we're talking about, like, it's going to be hard for anybody to make it in disc golf because they can't win.
Yeah, like, well, it's
crazy. True.
Very quickly, the just getting on tour. Like, we are starting to enter this era where you're starting to see the guys who are just, like, fringe tour players that were just kind of giving it a shot and just wanted to be on tour. Mm-hmm. They're getting pushed out pretty quick.
Yeah.
And give it another 5 years.
You don't see their names anymore.
Yeah, give it another 5 years. And, like, being on tour, just getting qualifying and getting on the Pro Tour is going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
Let alone cashing and then forget about when. Like, that's what we're going to, what you see on the PGA Tour, is a good example this weekend. A guy who's been on tour for quite a while won his first tour event. I think Jaeger's his last name. On the PGA Tour, you will every once in a while see a guy who finally wins a tournament or gets in contention to win, and they'll talk about how he's been on the tour for this many years, and they're what they call journeymen. They don't win. They're not going to do any flashing. They've just managed to stay on tour, and that's enough to make their living. And eventually, you'll have that in disc golf. You'll have players who, when their name pops up towards top leaderboard, you might not recognize it, but guess what? That guy's been on tour for the last 5 or 6 years, and he's just kind of hanging around trying to make last cash. And like, because winning, it almost just it is just become this exclusive thing for the best of the best. Like the product is so good, either you pop off and have the weekend of your life. Other than that, the best of the best are the ones that are going to win the tournaments. And other than that, you are not going
to
get through.
Having the like dream to be a professional in some kind of golf-based sport, so like in golf or in disc golf or something like that, that's so intimidating. Because if you think about a team sport, basketball, football, whatever, you just have to be really good at one thing, right? Because there's a position for that. Sure. Like you don't have to be great at this other thing. If you're really good at this one thing, you'll just stay on that one thing.
And to win, you only have to be like one of an entire team.
Exactly.
It's not just you.
But now with like, you got to be perfect.
You got to beat everybody.
You got to be perfect at every single thing.
Yeah, see that whole field of amazing players? You got to beat them all.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Speaking of money in disc golf, because AB
is so running up that bankroll.
I was just curious. So the tour has essentially been going on for a month. February 23rd was day one of chess.com. March 31st was the final day of Texas States. So a month and a week. 5 weeks. He has just cash on the tour, $30,000.
Is that counting Texas States?
That counts Texas States, yeah.
$30,000.
To put that in perspective, okay, that's so insane. That's like a month on tour. To put that in perspective, Ricky Wysocki in 2016 won 5 Elite Series or major events, okay, for the entire year. He cashed at every event. He didn't miss cash. Played 25 tournaments. This was the beginning of Ricky's dominant era. Mm-hmm. Okay. Only made $60,000. Wow. The entire season.
Yeah. Wow. AB's made half of that.
AB's made half of that in the first month, the first 5 pro tour events.
Owned to date has won 22,000, I think.
Owned
so far
as?
This year.
Yeah, like that's wild.
Because I looked up to see what country
it's. Let's
it
look says. At Kristen. Kristen's at this year 17,000 playing 4 events. Like there's a lot in that. Obviously, all these players have great contracts with their
well. The scary thing
too,
and the scary thing about not only with guys like AB, is it a matter of getting the win for him was really big for his confidence level. But when you win that much money early in the season, and like a lot of these guys budget right, like they have goals for what they want to make in their earnings to try and cover their budget for their tour. When you go out that like, it would not surprise me if AB's budget for the whole year is like 40,000-50,000 in earnings and he's made already 30 of it. Like, you become the big chip bully. You're playing tournaments thinking, if I don't cash, so what? I'll get the next one. I've already made $30,000 in it just outside of a month. Like, you're not dealing with a similar amount of pressure. And a lot of the best players in the world earn the purse earnings is not even a huge consideration to them, but it certainly starts weighing on some of the other guys. Yeah.
Now, there's no way AB keeps up the pace he's on. Okay. Just put that out there. But if he did, well, it's not enough events, not enough, like, I mean, he'd have to win 2
I was
out
looking
of every
at,
four.
Well, here's the thing. I was looking at last year, and Calvin, I think, through Jonesboro, had won 3 events.
Yeah.
Which was like an insane pace, and then he went away.
Hey, we're coming up on a calendar year since Calvin Heimberg's won.
Right. So that's
a
what,
year.
That's
since Calvin
what I'm
Heimberg's
saying
won.
Is like, with this AB thing, it's so hard to imagine that this is just a surge at the beginning of the year just because he's won on different courses. His game just looks complete. But it'll be interesting to see at the end of the year, do we look back and be like, oh my gosh, remember when AB was just like the best player ever?
Yeah, which to be fair, Calvin last year,
he still had a great season. He won player of the year.
He was still in top 5 every weekend.
Well, that's the thing. You go out and you win 2 events. You win 2 events early in the season, and I mean, Gannon, I think, is kind of inevitable. Like, Gannon is going,
he's going to win at least 1 or 2 more.
Yeah, he is going to win.
But you
got to
think AB's winning at least 1 or 2 more.
The way things are going right now. But, like, you're already, what I'm saying is, like, having 2 wins in a season, you have already had a tremendous season. Better than 95% of the pros.
Anyways, what I was going to say is, if he kept that pace March to October, that'd be $240,000 cash for the year, which would just blow
that's not
the
possible.
That's what I'm saying. That would just blow the current record out of the
if
water.
If someone has that, nobody's made 200, right?
I don't think so. I think like 120 is like the. I think Kristen keeps
Kristen
setting the record, so we can just click on Kristen and just go year to year. Last year, Kristen Tatar made 116,000.
Yeah, I would say.
And 2022, Kristen, I think she made like 103,000. So like, that's the kind of the record of like no
just
one's crossed
by playing.
That.
That's
and
crazy.
Last year, I don't even think she won the tour championship.
No, Big Money Missy.
Yeah, I think she could have had like 100, 150 almost.
Yeah. The tour championship's the key there. Because, like, I mean, if AB didn't cash another dollar and then won the tour championship, he'd be at 80 for the year.
If you win a major, wow. If you can grab the tour championship in like a major, because you might get a 20K purse for that.
Yeah, you'll probably already be at like 60 something. Yeah,
it's huge. I mean, that's what Isaac, his winnings were crazy with the two majors.
Yeah. But that's how it works. The only other thing I really want to say about Texas States was I'm happy they both finished the way they did, just because I didn't really like hole 18 on either layout. I liked FPO more than MPO, but it was still like 270 some foot island hole.
I just thought the back nine of that course in general got a little repetitive and forgettable. I thought the whole course as a whole, like if I went and played it, I thought it seemed fair and pretty fun. Like I think I would enjoy playing it, but it was a little it's not super memorable. And I think the back nine started to get a little repetitive, where it was like, okay, another low ceiling, left to right shot, par four, or like a shorter par three, turnover. I feel like I kept seeing the same shots over and over again. And yeah, 18.
Just imagine if AB like, would have, his disc wouldn't have sat.
Now imagine a final hole.
It rolls to OB.
Imagine a final hole, but it's a mound like that, but it's like five times as high and it's for a national championship.
And yeah,
remember that I witnessed thing?
That. That hole is so stupid. Ben Clark drive a dagger through Colin Carter's heart from like 50 feet on the tallest mound of all time.
It was ridiculous. Is it the old? That was at the...
Shout out Ben Clark. Cincinnati. You know, who would have thought Cincinnati would be back in a different way? Tanner Young last year.
Hey, shout out College Nationals.
College Nationals is actually happening this week, basically as we speak.
Wednesday, I think.
Right? It'll start. Yeah, it starts Wednesday. All the teams are down there playing.
Probably not all of them.
I saw a lot
Liberty,
of teams.
I'm just saying, Liberty happens to show up like.
No, I saw like 15 teams on College Disc Golf Story all traveling on Saturday. They were
But isn't there like 70 some schools?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot.
Like some of the Carolina teams were posting like last week or 2 weeks ago. They were playing the courses.
It's competitive, man.
When we played Nationals, you rolled up on Tuesday, and you had a practice round Tuesday afternoon. Then you had a practice round Wednesday morning, and then it started Wednesday afternoon. And that was kind of,
some people would roll
and
up.
We showed up early to show up Tuesday.
Yeah, a lot of people would roll up right
A lot of guys were just rolling into the players' meeting, playing
they
long
all,
back
they
line.
They all carpooled in one dude's Civic.
And they were sleeping in the back
guys,
of it.
Guys, Nationals sounds like so much fun. We've got to start a team.
Yeah, we got to go back to community college.
Well, we got to be students. That's the problem.
Yeah, we got to go to community college.
Lifelong learner.
Yeah. What if you went to community college to play disc golf, what are you majoring in?
Do I have to major in something, or can I just like take a class?
Well, no, you just for the fun. Like you're just picking a major of like you'll be able to take. We're gonna take like 1 year of classes.
I already applied to culinary arts.
Culinary arts.
I got in.
Con,
so I
what
guess
are you
that's
doing?
What I'm doing
probably something like woodworking or welding.
Welding. There you go.
Yeah,
welding.
They have a welding program.
What I can't really major in woodworking, so I would say welding.
What? CBCC has a welding program. Because my
what would be like the
does.
Funniest? What would be welding. The funniest thing to have a degree in from a community college? I think that's what I'd want.
I mean, culinary arts would be pretty up there in the funny
culinary nursing. Arts.
Because like you imagine
nursing,
being like
community college,
you're like telling people you went to culinary school and then being like, where? I'm like, oh, my local community college.
Yeah,
like when you
Central
when you lead
Virginia community
when
college.
You lead off with I went to culinary school, they're probably expecting the next answer to come out of your mouth be like New York or France or like some fancy.
That is funny.
No, like yeah, it's community college.
I knew a guy who went to a famous culinary school in Charlotte, and he went for like accounting.
That's funny.
He went to a culinary school for
it's like,
accounting.
Like they're known for like their culinary like degrees like that.
That's awesome.
For like a business or accounting or something.
That's so funny. Imagine like everybody's walking around carrying their chef's knives.
They're all them. Yeah, they're all in their white button
yeah.
up thing.
Yeah. He's like, you know, I'm here for the accounting stuff. That's great.
I'm accounting that dough.
And the funniest part about that
they're
is
both
like,
there
it's
to make
probably
dough.
Not even cheap. Like it's probably an expensive nice, school if it's like a world renowned culinary yeah. place and he's like
I mean I wouldn't say world renowned.
Like
North Carolina.
Charlotte renowned.
Charlotte renown.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What's it called?
Main Street renown.
What's kidding. It called?
I forget.
Okay. Charlotte Cooking School.
Update on the
CCS,
Manufacturers
go
Cup.
Go Knives.
Go Knives. Update on the Manufacturers Cup through Texas States. Discraft was able to cut into Discmania's dominant lead by 21 points because they were able to get AB the win and Ezra Aderholt came in third.
Let go.
So they got 40 points this week. Gannon was able to claim 18 points for Discmania, and Kyle Klein was able to still sneak into the top 10. He's also having himself a year, so they were able to get 19 points.
He will be
points.
The one that stays the quietest, and then when he wins, people are going to, well, maybe not this year. I think it's gone on too long, but like he's always like, even
he's always there.
He was quiet this weekend, but guess what? Still 10th.
Yeah. Now, Discmania and Discraft have separated themselves significantly from the rest of the field.
It's a blowout.
So Discmania is in the lead at 142.5 points. Discraft's in second at 116.5 points. And then Innova just moved up to third at 35 points.
You know,
so wild.
Something interesting, because Mason Ford reminded me, I noticed that he was throwing around a Discraft force a lot.
Really?
And so that made me think, I never considered this, but I guess Mint just probably doesn't require. I mean,
they must not have a full
their lineup is getting there, but I think distance drivers especially, it's not. And so, yeah, I think it must have been like one that Val gave him or whatever.
So should we give some of the Mint points to Discraft?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I think that there needs to be an adjustment made, because he's throwing around this pink force, is like flipping up all over the place. He was dominating with it. I'm like, I want to see a Mason Ford in the bag now.
Because now, so Mason earned some more points for Mint. They now have 15 points in the year. They're able to jump DGA. This is the...
I mean, he's got to be the only one carrying that, right?
Yeah, surely.
Yeah, it's the Mason Ford show.
More Mason Ford show. Prodigy has now had back-to-back weeks with 0 points.
Because they're counting on
Ezra and Isaac Robinson.
Yeah.
0 points.
That's been
low
a story
key, the
so
Mason
far.
Ford show kind of sounds like something I'd watch. It just sounds like a good show name.
The Mason Ford show, that sounds like he fixes stuff.
Yeah.
Or he shoots stuff.
Or does Mason
just blows things up.
By the way, it was Johnson and Wales was the
Johnson
university.
And Wales. That does sound
it
fancy.
Well, it kind of sounds like an accounting school, to be fair. Like, it sounds like an accounting firm.
I went to Johnson and Wales.
Yeah, like, I got my books done at Johnson and Wales.
I learned how to dice my onions at Johnson and Wales.
Other big story point for the Manufacturers Cup is that MVP still is at 0 points this far into the year. Eagle McMahon should be returning here in the next few events.
I'm very excited about that. The return of Eagle is something that I've kind of forgotten about. There's so many other
exciting
things.
He's throwing righty on his story now.
But, like, that is going to be electrifying to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's back throwing righty. Castoplast has more points than MVP, with Braden Sides getting him 4 points this week, putting him at a total of 6 on the year.
Where's James at? Come on, James. Step it up.
Yeah. James Conrad did not have a good weekend this weekend. Simon had an okay weekend, but his finishing place wouldn't show
that. James Conrad, perfect example. And he obviously has a track record now where he has won 2 majors. Did he win USDGC?
Yep.
Yeah, he's won 2 majors. So
finished 90th.
I don't want to disrespect James Conrad, but if James Conrad hadn't won those and he was where he was now, like, he seems like a guy who would just float around the middle of the table. He's going to cash quite often. Maybe you'll see him pop him here. Like, that could be one of those journeyman guys.
Let's look at Conrad here.
I mean, he kind of did his thing, you know?
That's not Conrad. Let's just see, like, what he cashed. He's made $2,000 so far this year. He cashed at Waco and the Open
52nd, 15th, 40th, 90th. So he's been a little... But, like, he's sitting around the cash line, and then he popped into 15th, and then he popped back a little bit. Like,
last year he made almost 23 grand, with his best finish being at a full pro tour was 5th at Jonesboro. So maybe this upcoming weekend is a weekend.
Could be. I like James Conrad. I like watching. I like when James Conrad is near the top, because I like watching him throw.
Yeah, he's fun. I love when his putt's on.
Oh, yeah.
Very fun guy to watch putt.
If they get rid of the step putt, though, it's going to be rough for James Conrad, because he practically touches the basket.
I have a new pet peeve.
Oh,
new disc golf pet peeve.
I can't
love
it.
The people who are getting so fired up on social, going frame by frame about people's jump putts.
Yeah,
where
so
their
stupid.
Feet have left the ground by an inch when the disc is leaving.
I got a spoiler alert for you.
Like, that's the dumbest thing I've seen.
The problem is not the people. The problem, if there's a problem, it's the fact that the rule exists at all. Mm-hmm. Like,
I understand
what
the
do
rule
you expect,
existing.
Like, what do you expect somebody to do? You think somebody's going to call that? They can't tell. It happens in real time.
Here's what if you have to slow it down and go frame by frame to see if someone jump putt was a foot fault, they didn't gain a significant enough advantage for it to be called.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
Ever going to call that.
Now, if someone
I'd have to see
step something. Putts, lands, and then starts a second step putt and throws, that's a pretty call big that. Advantage. You better call that one.
Like,
well, you get
jump.
3 leaps, don't you?
We better call that one.
If somebody takes a running start and, like, just leaps over their lie and then releases it midair as they're, like, 4 feet closer to the basket, that's
like
one
that's
thing.
That's a footfall. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not going to get worked. When you have a rule that allows for such, like, close skirting of the rule, like, I'm not going to get fired.
I've never
watched a guy win and be like, dude, no kidding, because his foot was like 6 inches off the ground. Like, I don't even care.
They were tweeting pictures of Kristen jump putting, and I mean, her foot's literally like if this is the ground, her foot's like right here. And I'm like, what advantage? Like, if she angled her foot down, it would touch the ground. Like, what advantage did she just gain?
Yeah.
Like, the
it's stupid.
You got to know the spirit of the game,
and nobody's trying. Nobody's
spirit
trying.
Fingers, baby.
It's not like they're trying to take an advantage either.
That's
like
my
thing. It's just so weird.
Same thing with, like, foot faults. I hate when, like, someone slips and kicks their disc when they're, like, throwing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that technically a foot fault?
Now,
absolutely.
I saw Mason Ford go up and measure Gannon's lie, and he did this. He took this is what he did. He went like that to measure his lie. I'm like, that's not a whole piece of paper.
No, he was trying to measure 8 inches, I guess.
Yeah, he used his like end of his pinky finger, if you're listening, end of pinky finger to end of thumb, like kind of the hang loose and spread them there. And he was going from. all right, children. And he was going from like the back of the disc to the toe or whatever. And like that's what he was using to determine whether Gannon's lie was clean. I'm kind of like, I'm going to start carrying around an actual piece of paper if it comes to that. Mason Ford, what if he's got small hands?
Maybe.
Yeah. Now,
to be fair,
my hang loose
and
spread him is not a full piece of paper.
No, not even remotely. Like, I mean,
I don't think mine. Where is a piece of paper? Let's see how far off he was.
I'll get a piece of paper. You
got pretty big hands.
Give me a pizza paper.
I think, like, yes, if a Brody Smith did that, it probably is close. But, and also, I will say this, Mason.
Oh yeah, so you can't see the top of this.
Like, look how
no one can see.
But
the top
these
of this.
Are 8.5, though, right? Because it's 8 inches is the rule.
No, I think it's eight and a half.
You get 8.5.
I mean, that's not even close.
No, you got another like 3 inches.
I mean, oh no, because this is 11.
Oh yeah. It's this way. It's this way.
No, it's this way.
What?
I think you have 8 inches, and then you have 11 inches back.
Oh, do you get?
Yeah,
because
like this much, this makes sense. Like I'm about 8.5 there.
We need to get the whole rule then.
I'm pretty sure you have a piece of paper this way. I think you have a foot behind the
lie. Maybe he was doing
lie.
It for the width then?
Maybe it was the width he was
no,
doing.
No, but he was trying to get away from a tree, and I feel like he was just standing back from it. I don't know. I'd be curious to know what he was measuring. Either way, it's not like he made Gannon move, and also I think the Gannon was within whatever
the lie
he was
is a
measuring.
Rectangle that's 20 centimeters wide, 30 centimeters deep.
Why are we talking
centimeters,
in centimeters?
2 inches. 11.8 inches
United
deep.
States.
And 20 centimeters
yeah,
wide.
Can we use freedom units?
20 centimeters is 8. So it's 8 by 11, basically.
Yeah
so it's a sheet of paper long ways. So that's not even close.
Interesting.
That's what Mason's Ford's.
What do you think about like that? A sheet of paper is pretty big.
It is.
Huge. I'd
you have
curious.
So much space behind the disc.
I think you could actually, if you brought a piece of paper, or like let's say you cut it to the exact dimensions mentioned in the rules, if you brought that with you as proof, and you took the entire tournament to take all of that, I bet you get caught in foot fault a bunch because it's like it's pretty crazy.
It's pretty
looking.
Big.
And then you just lay down the paper and be like, look, it's not a foot fault. And they'd be like, oh, you learned something today.
Don't be a bully. Speaking of learning stuff today, it's time for Trevor's trivia with Trevor.
Ooh.
What you got for us, T Dog?
I'll never learn anything interesting.
Okay. May I call you T Dog?
I don't care what you call me. You can call me Connor.
May I call you Connor?
Okay. What will be featured on the Dude Perfect Smoothie Cup this month?
I don't know yet.
Is it a monthly thing?
It is.
So there's a new one today.
Yeah.
Got to figure it out.
It's going to be called Purple Hosier Juice.
Well, no, they don't change
the
smoothie.
They don't change the flavor, just the cup.
Oh, the smoothie's so good.
They should have
called Purple Hosier Juice
they
Cup.
They should have given each of them a flavor.
They should have.
Come on, guys.
Maybe next silly. Time. Was that your Trevor trivia question?
Yeah.
Maybe they're.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh.
Hunt.
You were like closing your notes app.
No.
So I was like, dang, dude.
Dude, no peeping.
I was like, he really didn't
peeping.
Guy's a savage.
I think I win these.
Why am I saying screen peeping?
It's kind of the same thing.
It peeking.
We
I guess
are
you peep at something.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, like there's like a peephole.
A peeping Tom.
Peeping Tom. That's what it was.
Hunter, excuse me for my insensitivity, but your I did incense. Eat a peep this weekend, first time in a while.
I have a.
They're smaller than I remember. I think because last time I had one, I was a child.
I have a peep at home. I don't know if I'm going to eat one or not, but it has like chocolate covering the bottom of it.
Oh,
it's like that entices me.
I bet
more.
You that'll
yeah,
be good.
Peep. So we're going to be talking about Instagram followings today.
Nice.
We're going to see if you have your finger on the pulse of the people.
I have my finger on the pulse
and
peep.
Their social following. So the way this works is I'm going to name a player and then I'm going to ask you higher or lower than a certain number of followers is on Instagram.
I love it.
Insta.
And you're going to tell me higher or lower
on the gram. Okay.
You guys will both guess. We'll do it 3-2-1 style, and you'll either give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. So that way,
you guys
can't just bank off
audio
each other.
Listeners are gonna. Love
Would you rather?
It.
Well, you just say.
We'll
us.
Just say.
You can say it. We'll just do.
Just
both.
Say it while you do.
Okay.
It.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Do both.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have I think 9 of these, so we'll go through them. All right. Number one.
So we're gonna say over or under, right?
Yeah, you can just say over or under.
Okay.
Okay, the first one is Silas Schultz. And okay. Is he over or under 20,000 followers? 3, 2, 1.
Over. Under.
Connor says over. Hunter says under. He is under.
Ah, I think he's at 18.
He is at 18. This that could be a problem. The fact that he knew that.
I just clicked. I just literally, I looked at his profile like 4 days ago, 3 days ago.
That's a lot of days. Okay, next we have. Hunter could be an issue in this game.
I don't think so.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. I think Paul I would just be McBeth, bad at this.
Okay. Over or under 240,000.
I think I know this one. Followers. Oh, 240,000.
240,000.
I think I'm still good.
Over or under. 3, 2, 1.
Over. I feel like he hit 250.
I feel like it's 260.
Considerably under.
Oh.
228.
We silly boys.
228. Okay.
He must suppose they hit 200.
Yeah.
I thought it was 200. Well, you just gave me the line at 240. I was like, oh, he's got to be at 250 then. Just hit a milestone.
Yeah, that's Trevor's fault.
Okay, so
that's Trevor's fault. Absolutely. The way you asked that question.
Still 1-0 to the hunt.
I'm going to start calling you Isaac.
We have Simon Lizotte. Is he over or under 150,000? Over or under 150,000?
That's so hard.
3, 2, 1.
Under.
He is over 175,000.
I was thinking.
I mean, YouTube, you feel crossed.
Like, yeah, I felt like he was like he's got a bigger. Is he super active on Instagram?
I don't know. He's over 200 on YouTube.
Yeah.
But he's just one of those guys where like Paul's main following is Instagram.
Exactly.
Simon's main following is YouTube. So that's what I was thinking.
Well, they're pretty close. They're within 25K of each other.
Wow.
Okay. Still 1-0 hunt. Ricky Wysocki is next. Is he over or under 120,000? Over or under 120,000? 3, 2, 1.
Over.
Let's say over.
Dang, Con.
That's correct. 135,000. Yeah. That's where he's at.
Those Ricky Wysocki.
Hunter's still up by one. Next, we have Paige Pierce. Over or under 100,000? 100,000. Over or under? 3, 2, 1.
Oh, under.
I feel like it's 80.
Ooh.
I have no idea.
Oh, here we go.
I have no idea.
It is 95.
Oh,
Connor, I got ties one. It up.
Dang.
Oh, that tied it up?
Yeah.
Dang.
I was right on Silas Schultz.
Well, you were both
it felt
right,
like
right.
You were killing me. I don't know why.
We've been saying the same thing every time. That was the first one we went different in a long while.
Next, we have Anthony Barella, recent winner. Over or under 60K? 60K. 3, 2, 1.
Under.
52K.
Wow. Foundation's bigger than him on Instagram.
Yeah.
Get wrecked, AB.
Yeah, get under the Anthony umbrella.
Connor's up by one.
Do you want us to give you a shout out?
Should there be... I feel like there should be like some kind of pun having to do with Anthony Barella and umbrella. Like Anthony Umbrella. But then there's just something related to his game that we can compare to an umbrella.
We'll work on it.
Okay,
thank you. The way he rains birdies. You're going to need an Anthony Umbrella.
I like the phrase Anthony Umbrella, though.
All right. Ezra Aderhold, over or under 50K? Over or under 50K?
I got no clue. Literally, the only reason I knew Silas Schultz is because I went to his profile the other day, and I was like, oh, wow, he's at 18. That's
three,
the only reason I know any
three,
of them.
3, 2, 1.
Under.
He's over. 61K.
Wow. Dude, we're dumb.
Okay, pop off, two Ezra. Left. Brody Smith.
100.
Over or under 800K? 3, 2, 1.
Over. I was trying to split it.
He's at 855K.
Yeah.
All right.
Give me a few more months.
This is for all the marbles.
All the marbles. Is it for all the marbles?
You can even answer anything different, that is.
Okay.
Kristen Tatar. Over or under, I think this is a tough one, 150K. Kristen Tatar, over or under 150K. 3, 2, 1.
Under. The number in my head was 120.
We were both correct. 123.
Actually. Oh, wow. That was close.
So there you go. All right, Connor, you did it. You held them off.
I got lucky there.
Pretty good guesses. I mean, you guys were like 50% on that.
It felt way worse.
Maybe.
I would say it felt like I was
well,
way
got, No, you we got, both you got a Kristen, lot right at the same time,
You got
though,
Kristen,
I feel like.
Brody... One of you got AB, the other one didn't. One of you got Paige, the other didn't. I think you both. Yeah, it was about 50%. Yeah, we'll just call it that.
50% sounds good to me.
Social media. It's interesting. It's interesting like some people, I feel like a lot of it has to do with just how long they've been around, honestly. That's what a lot of it comes down to. Some of those guys, because like
Sarah Schultz's Instagram is a good time.
There are players like get the Gannons and the ABs that will eventually probably catch up to some guys that.
AB, you want us to shout you out? That's so funny to me.
I was writing this. Planning the show out, and I was literally planning to talk about how we still haven't seen an update with the Pro Tour scoring platform. And about that time, they gave us an update with the Pro Tour scoring platform. And they released it. So they released a preliminary version is available. You can actually just go to DGPT.com, and there's a tab up there that says scores. You can click on that. Underwhelming is what I'm going to call it. It's just PDGA Live for right now.
It's red and blue now.
It's red. They made the birdies green. There's ads in it, but it's just PDGA Live for right
there's
now.
There's no event stats. There's no player stats.
Well, there's events. There's stats.
But like
I can't go back.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like I want to be able to on UDisc. There was a button I could hit where I could just see the stats for the year, and it's just right boop, just right there, just boop, and then I could just see like what's AB's C1 putting on the year. Like this player stats, I don't even know player stats for all rounds. So you can like see their profile page and stats, but if you go to their profile page,
nothing there yet.
I just see event history. Like I don't see stats. Like it tells me his DGPT world standing, which how is AB third in the world right now? Who's beating him? I guess because someone won an Elite Plus. Gannon won an Elite Plus, that's why. Who else is beating him? See, now I'm fascinated. Now I gotta check this out.
They haven't added it yet.
Texas State's right there. Oh, AB's first. Okay, they hadn't added it to his player profile yet. Okay, never mind. All right, take it all back. Take it all back just to find you.
Well, not all of it back.
I
got to be honest with you. I'm not getting a rip about this whole stats thing, too, until, like, give me an app. I want an app.
Yeah, PDGA Live has an app.
I know, but I want the Pro Tour.
I want a Pro Tour app. Well, it should just be in DGN.
That would be fine.
Yeah, it should just be in DGN, I think. But, yeah, I was a little sad. Because mainly I was sad because you made us wait longer. Like, I feel like this could have come out at chess.com.
Well, they basically...
Because this is just...
It looks like they copy and paste the PDGA Live and then change the color
scheme. That's what I'm saying. They just add a little CSS spice, changed up the color, and that's it.
Come on, guys.
Like, I don't understand why we waited so much longer for this. Because, like, I looked at it, I watched it, and then I was like, I'd rather consume it on PDGA Live. Because, like, it's the same thing, but it's on my phone on an app.
Yeah.
That's it. I also had an idea on Twitter.
Okay.
What's stopping UDisc from just pulling the stats from PDGA Live and doing what they've always done?
I would guess that there is some legality issue to that. I think that they could probably get in trouble. I think they probably have to have the rights to, you know, it's their tournament, so I think they can probably enforce that.
But there's been stat platforms that have done it before.
It's true, but I would imagine, well, they don't have live scorekeeping on the ground, so they would have to, get even all of their stats in there. Would that, like, with it not happening natively, maybe it would just be, super difficult?
I think UDisc just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like the guys at UDisc are smart enough that they could easily figure it out if they wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously, if the Pro Tour didn't want that to happen, I'm sure they could prevent it.
Yeah.
But it would be pretty crazy if they did.
I was just thinking of it.
It would be a wild turn of events if they did that, and then everybody's like, yeah, like, we're so happy now. And like Pro Tour's like, it would be like a classic Prodigy Gannon Burr situation where they're like, either we don't do anything and we get walked all over, or we do something and we become the bad guy.
Yeah. I just thought of it when I saw the scoring platform, because I was like, well, at first, I think I tweeted it maybe before I saw the scoring platform, but then when I saw the scoring platform, it like reinforced it, because I was like, that's literally what this DGPT platform's doing.
We should do it. We should do it, but we just do it on a Google Doc, and we just update it.
Update it by hand.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You can see our just little cursor going around.
That is so funny. The little pink Trev Staub cursor just like pop around.
That would actually be...
that'd be a terrible punishment.
That's what I'm saying. That'd be a really funny punishment, is you have to watch the PDGA Live thing for like the entirety of MPO or something, and you have to go through and you have to update it. And yeah, like when somebody makes a birdie, you need to go ahead and like click on and off the highlighter thing. And like,
it would have to be just for like one card though. Because doing that for all 100 some players,
sounds like the most stressful thing.
That's impossible. I would give up.
Yeah, we'd have to do like maybe like you have to keep up with like whoever's in the top 10 at that point.
I think you'd do final round and it'd just be like going to the final round, whoever's in top 5 or something. And you just
That would be too easy. Like five people now, it's not even that difficult. That's not even that hard.
But you still have to just sit there for 4+ hours, regardless.
You don't have to sit there. You can watch the disc golf and then just do it as it goes on. Yeah, but still just. I think you'd have to make it like top 15, top 20. Oh, really suck.
20 of them, though. Like, you'd miss stuff.
Yeah.
Mine would be wildly inaccurate.
It's a punishment. It has to suck, is what I'm saying.
I'm game.
I think it'd be really. It'd just be really funny to see, like, what kind of little quirks you would put on your.
I wouldn't. There'd be no quirks. Yeah.
My quirk is that all of it is a lie.
Everyone watches AB take a 2, and Connor just goes 4, flashes red. The final thing I want to talk about was I had seen some stuff on like Reddit and on Twitter about Gatekeeper's coverage this year not being the same, and I decided, let me see this for myself.
That's right, investigative journalism.
And so I went over to Gatekeeper's page, and I just clicked on one of the rounds from Waco. And what I saw was just terrible. And everyone's blaming Disc Golf Pro Tour for it because they're saying that this is what the Disc Golf Pro Tour is like forced Gatekeeper to do. Is if you haven't watched it, it's just a highlight reel and they're combining FPO and MPO into one and it's just like a round recap and they're jumping all over the place. Like the one I watched for Waco, they had like someone throw their drive on one. It was FPO. She made a birdie. Then it cut over to the green of hole 2. And that person like threw a par or tapped out a birdie or something. Then they cut back to like the middle of the fairway with a different player. And then like any somewhat decent shot they were doing a replay of. Like there was like 3 replays in the first 2 holes. But the first 2 holes, like live disc golf, it flows because you're not missing anything. You know what I mean? Like it makes sense. Like the lead card finishes hole 1. They're walking over to hole 2. While they're walking, you're throwing forward to like hole 3 and watching someone play out hole 3. Then you're coming back to the tee of 2. But it's like it's real time. So it makes sense. Post-produced jumping like that was just so frustrating to watch. Because it's like, there was just a better way to tell that story.
Yeah, well, because
we weren't telling a story.
It's like a halfway highlight reel. Because if you're going to
be... Not halfway. It was a highlight reel.
No. I'm saying if you're going to be a highlight reel, cut it even shorter. Make it just... It's literally just the highlights. We're not even trying to paint a picture of the round, really. We're really just kind of showing you the highlights. And maybe we'll show you enough shots down the stretch that you understand how it finished. But they're cutting a highlight reel and trying to still get like almost entire...
But the problem was it was a highlight reel of just chase cards. So there wasn't really a storyline to finish.
That's also a good point. Yeah, at that point, like what did it even...
Yeah, but I just saw... And all the comments were hating it. Also, not getting a lot of reach right now because it's just not the coverage. But everyone was hating DGN and Disc Golf Pro Tour for it. But what confused me was I went back and like read, and what the Disc Golf Pro Tour promised that was going to be available was like basically Gatekeeper would have access to the Pro Tour cameras that they're using for DGN to do with it what they want. So to me, it sounded like the Gatekeeper could have, and maybe something changed from the announcement or behind the scenes. Like they could have just done, or maybe they don't have every shot from Chase Card or something. I don't know.
They didn't want to pay our guy Dustin, man.
It sounded like they could have just done post-produced coverage of Chase Card like they had, and it's just like they're not the ones running the cameras, but they could have just used it, and they had more shots and decided, oh, this will be cool.
Yeah,
and shot themselves in the foot. That's what the feeling I got, but I don't know if that's actually true because like literally every comment was just ticked off that DGN did this to them, basically.
We're looking for the guy.
So
that did this.
I don't know what's going on, what I will say, I know YouTube AdSense numbers. If you monetize well, they're not going to last long if they're doing just this all year. Well, they might last long as it's like a side gig.
How long?
Well, I think they have like 5 guys on their team. Like they already, they must have had some nice money in the bank to already still be alive, or they're just living on rice and beans and rice, the Dave Ramsey style.
Or 5 guys.
Or 5? No, definitely not 5 guys.
Well, there's 5 guys. You do have to consider.
Well,
that.
Yeah, I guess if you had 5 guys and you all got 1 cheeseburger,
yeah,
that might work. At 5 guys, it'd still be more expensive than just getting ramen.
That's still $13.99 a person.
Yeah. No, I don't know. So Gatekeeper, if you're watching this and you have the ability to change, please do. Because they're also posting like they're posting like a disc golf daily podcast and they're posting it as videos and it's just crushing them in the algorithm because it's getting like 100 views.
Maybe they're on salary this whole time.
Maybe the Pro Tour just owns them.
I say that could be the plot twist.
And the Pro Tour is just killing their channel to give them more time to work on other stuff. Mm. Maybe that's the plot twist. No, because someone tweeted saying something about the Pro Tour owning them, and they responded quickly back of like, the Pro Tour doesn't own us. We're our own thing.
That's what you would say if Pro Tour owned you.
Yeah.
Pro Tour doesn't own us, guys. Griplock, we're not owned by the Pro Tour. We're totally not owned by the Pro Tour.
I don't think we have to tell people that.
Discmania is not Trilogy.
But yeah, it made me sad. I clicked on it. I watched like 5 minutes of it. I couldn't stomach anymore.
And
clicked
Hunter, off. It made Hunter sad.
It made me sad. So I wanted to mention it so that hopefully someone does something about it.
Don't
it's out of
make
my control.
Hunter
well,
sad
would you like to watch the highlight clips from those videos, but at like a lower frame rate and a lot blurrier? Then you would love my friends at the Disc Golf channel, Disc Golf Content. Have you guys ever seen them on YouTube?
No.
So I was scrolling on YouTube last night with some friends, and we stumbled upon a channel called Disc Golf Content because
I think I've heard of this.
One of the videos had like 356,000 views, and we were like, what the heck? Like, how have I never seen this video that's like popping off in the Disc Golf algorithm? And no, it's just clips.
They're just stealing
stuff?
They're just
stuff. Stolen clips from other places.
Dang.
So, yeah,
we should do that instead of making videos.
Yeah,
so much easier to just
way easier.
If Jomez comes out with
there's no legal issues.
If Jomez comes out with a sick putting games video, we'll just take it. You don't make money, you take money.
All right, you know what? There's no tournament next week, so instead of making us run long debating the top 10, tune in next week for us to
talk about the power
iron rankings. Out the nice. Power rankings. That way, we can really spend time and dig deep. But for now. It's Silas selection.
I've had
time.
A feeling about what this disc is since the moment it entered our table.
Okay.
Really, you could feel it.
I've had this weird feeling.
Can you grab the box?
I've had this weird tingle.
Are you wearing gloves? Is that why you have weird feeling?
I have this weird feeling.
There
yeah,
it is.
It's the gloves. I'm guessing it's a Berg.
Berg.
I just have this feeling that it's a Berg.
That's interesting.
And the feeling is usually kind of brought upon me because I gave Silas $50.
I want a Destroyer.
Okay.
But what do you think is in the box?
I like that.
No, I want a Destroyer. It's in the box.
I like you know that. What I think it
I like
is?
That pick. Oh. I think Hunter's actually right.
Oh, what if I was right?
I think Hunter's right.
Connor? I think it's an archive.
Oh, okay.
Decent.
Archive Berg Destroyer. Oh, I saw I don't know why I thought it was
a buzz?
It was a buzz.
Oh, man.
Don't show that stamp. Don't show that stamp.
Don't show that stamp. Don't show that stamp.
It says turd life. I saw snore life. I saw the pink in a podcast stamp, and we ran Griplock Destroyers. And so for some reason in my head, I was like, I just did it.
Dang,
that's gonna be like
the day it happened. Well, it's official. It didn't happen in this office.
Like the other, that's true.
Never happened in this office.
Wait, whoa, guys! Last grip
that's
lock
last
here.
Grip lock
in this
here.
Office. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna start crying.
Is it? Yeah. Years of work.
It's not really gonna. It's not gonna hit as that hard since it'll be like the same set.
It won't hit till we change the set 1 year.
Yeah, I was gonna say the set.
Whenever we change,
when
the
we
set.
Sit down at the table, it's still gonna feel pretty similar. But it is
we'll
pretty crazy. Like I won't be looking at like. Our office in the background, like the same way.
No, we're looking at something completely different.
All right, guys, grip lock segment right
it
now.
Will look different to the viewers, will see it differently through Connor's shot.
Quick segment. What is a favorite memory of this space?
This office just, space in
doesn't
general?
Doesn't have to be your all time favorite. You don't have to overthink. Just like what is one that comes to mind? You're like something that happened in this space that is
I wasn't
favorite.
Here for it. I was gone somewhere, but Trevor was texting me, freaking out because it was flooding.
Yeah, that was very
early.
And
he was sending me videos
States.
Of like 3 feet, 3 inches deep or maybe more of water just running by the door. And every once in a while, I stumble on those videos on my phone and I refuse to delete them because they make me laugh every time. It was the same trip while I was gone that Trevor made a cardboard throne.
A throne out of the boxes.
And sent me a picture of him sitting on the throne of boxes.
Yeah.
I have like two memories that come to mind that are from a while ago. One of them is, I'm just thinking of like, yeah, nostalgic memories is... whenever we got one of the first Ledgestone shipments we got whenever I started working here and we just had so many Discraft boxes in this like unit and we were all so excited about it. Hunter, we had sacked them like three high.
I
and
just
Hunter
saw
was
this
laying
picture
on top of
the
and I had the
that
picture.
Was it that was the I think that was the photon zones.
Oh, was
it
that,
might that have
been.
The photon
no,
zones.
No, this was before the photon zones.
I'm almost positive that picture of me laying
I
mean
I don't think
the photon
that,
zones.
I don't think it was Ledgestone just because I don't think that was too many boxes.
I think it was the photon
well, also,
zones.
Also, did we have
I sent the picture to my brother.
The photon zones though, I thought we had those. We had the warehouse when we
no,
were
no, because we filled them here. On this desk.
Oh yeah,
we put it up against this wall and had just day
gosh,
laborers
dude,
in.
It was
just
yeah.
filling orders for
chaos.
Days.
Chaos.
Well, and then my other chaos. One is whenever we used to make do a lot of social videos of like random crap, and we had Silas tackle me for some reason.
The office.
Yeah, yeah.
We
and
redid the
I
office
barely
one.
Knew Silas. Me and Silas like weren't even acquaintances at that point. We like
on my honeymoon.
Me and Silas had like basically just met.
Yeah, Trevor was on his honeymoon.
And then you were like, Silas, why don't you tackle Connor? And we were like, okay.
he rocked his world.
Trevor was on his honeymoon, I'm pretty sure.
I wasn't here.
And so we were recreating that scene in the office where we're playing football. That was funny.
I think the can wall sticks out to me, just like the whole saga of it. We almost recreated it
when you were gone. Where was he just gone for? Oh, when you had your baby.
Yeah.
We thought about, like, we were like, thinking of like, what's a like harmless prank that we could do where like, and that's what we end up on the cake. Mm-hmm. We're like, we should recreate his can wall.
So much.
He would have walked in. Here's what we should do. He's just reborn.
We should create out of plexiglass, create like a frame that's like the size of one of these walls, and it just like you just put cans in it. You just make a can wall that's like a permanent can.
It needs to be able to fall
over.
Yeah, I say the beauty of the can wall is that it would fall over. The anxiety it created for me.
It was just funny, like when it would fall due to nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd just be sitting there, and like someone would just stand up too fast,
and then just for like the next like 2 minutes.
Like Brad's over there filming a podcast.
Oh man, good times! Can't wait to see what the new space holds, huh? Hopefully us.
It's gonna be like, hey guys, welcome to Grip Lock, lock.
No. You'll be surprised when you walk in there in a few minutes. You're
gonna be shocked. Yeah. This is what we're gonna attach these to each of our mics. Really dampens the sound.
All right.
You actually sounded so good just then, Trevor.
I did. Yeah. I really did. Wait, try that out, Hunt. That's incredible.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week for...
Are you in a sound booth right now?
That's crazy,
dude. We'll see you next week for a new episode of Grip Locked.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.